Real businesses like Malibu Apothecary rely on Spectrum to keep them connected.
We're a fragrance company, but we also have a lot of technology that we use. Spectrum is really the backbone of any of the business we do here. Having a reliable, fast internet service that can fit my budget is really great. I traded a 9 to 5 for a 5 to 9. It's a lot of work, but I love it.
Spectrum Business Internet starts at $40 a month when bundled. Learn more at spectrum.com/business. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
You know, there are a lot of passions. Some days it's sports, other days it's cooking or music, or just diving into a great documentary. The thing is, whatever you're into, it's on Prime. Amazon Prime isn't just about fast delivery. Though getting stuff the same day is pretty great. But it turns out it's so much more. Prime Video, Amazon Music, the whole range of services. It's like a hub for all kinds of curiosity. Prime helps people stay connected to what matters and keeps the journey of exploration going. Whether it's watching something inspiring, listening to a new artist, or getting gear delivered fast to chase a new hobby, Prime makes it easier to dive in. So yeah, whatever you're into, it's on Prime. From streaming to shopping, it's on Prime. Visit Amazon.com/Prime to get more out of whatever sparks interest. Amazon.com/Prime.
Swinging a high drive into center field. Hits at the wall. It is gone! Cassis does it again. Again. It's gone! It's into the bullpen! This game is tied! This game is tied!
He swings and rips one to center field. It's high, it's deep, it's back, it's gone! Sale winds, he fires. Swing and a miss! Strike three, it's over! The Red Sox have won the World Championship!
What's up? Welcome back to Play Testy. It is episode 222. This is the official Red Sox podcast of WEEI. Remember, hit that subscribe button wherever you get your podcasts. Rate 5 stars. Head over to YouTube if you want to watch these episodes. We're on the WEEI page. You can find the Play Testy playlist there. So subscribe to WEEI. Hit the thumbs up on all of our Play Testy videos. And find us on the socials at Play Testy on Twitter, Instagram, and TikTok. Here with Sammy, here with Pat, and this might be like the first, interviews aside, because we're always happy to have guests on this show and talk about the team, talk about people's careers, people's lives, all that. We're always excited for those. But for talking about the Red Sox, this is, I cannot remember the last time we were legitimately happy going into a podcast. And that's not to say that like season back on or anything, like, we'll get into where we are in terms of that. I'm a ways away from that, but the Red Sox just took 2 out of 3 games in the Bronx, and you should enjoy that because yes, this season has sucked, but the season is not over. They are still within striking distance of a playoff spot with close to 2/3 of the season left. So yeah, when the Red Sox go into Yankee Stadium, put up double-digit runs in back-to-back games, and for the record, they had scored double-digit runs in 2 of their previous 32 games before now having scored double-digit runs in 3 out of 4. So the offense is doing what we've been hoping it would do, and we've been, you know, left with a lot to be desired. But in this series, you certainly weren't. First game started off horribly, and you know they showed some fight, and that, like, I guess that was good. But it was really the second 2 games where, you know, it was just an offensive onslaught, and it showed you what the team is capable of. When guys that have been slumping deeply, guys like Trevor Story, guys like Christian Campbell, play as well as they're capable of. And obviously, a guy like Abraham Toro now has multiple hits in 4 straight games. Like Abe the Bull, man. But yeah, it's just a feel-good series when you're expecting it the least, which I guess maybe that might be the epitome of this Red Sox team. Like when you expect them to win, which we've expected them to win a lot. So they've lost a lot. And when you expect them to lose, when you expect them maybe to get blanked by Carlos Rodon, who's been one of the best pitchers in baseball this year, they took it to him, man. They earned a lot of respect this series. Obviously, it's going to be about what they do moving forward, but hard to be anything but happy on this podcast, which feels good.
Yeah, sure does feel good. Happy podcast feels unusual for the 2025 Red Sox. I feel like more often than not, we're either mad, sad, or coping, but not today. One of the big issues with this team so far to this point in the season, June 8th as we record, long way to go, but one of the biggest issues, and we've spoken about it before, is it's often one step forward, one step back. So you have the bad loss, game one on Friday night, not great. Then they win Saturday, and you're like, great, cool. That's a step forward. You bounce back. Yankees are a good team. Bounce back, beat them. Then you look ahead, Sunday night baseball, Carlos Rodon, absolute heater. He's on. He's pitching really well. Hunter Dobbins, kind of just been bouncing around roles lately. That's a tough spot. Yankee Stadium, Sunday night baseball. Let's see how they do. And they got it done. Kind of in emphatic fashion. I think the game was not as close as the final score would indicate. The Red Sox kind of blew it open in seventh inning or so. It wasn't super competitive. It feels close as a Red Sox fan, but I'm sure if you were like Cleveland Guardians fan watching, you're probably like, okay, yeah, this is not close. Boston's kicking their butt. So good. They finally took more than one step forward without taking a step back. Now, the next question, we'll get into this later, is will they continue to progress in the next series? That's a big question mark, but feels good now. Nice.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I love how confused Pat is.
This music makes me feel like I'm in like a coming of age movie, and I just achieved something that I had been trying to achieve for the whole movie, and now my life is looking up. Wow.
Pat, how do you feel about the series?
What the fuck was that?
We got music now. We got music. Yeah, that was a big surprise.
Yeah, we got a soundboard now.
Oh, sweet.
Yeah, yeah.
No, I mean, it's 2 out of 3 at Yankee Stadium, and it wasn't like you played a bunch of slouches. You know what I mean? Like, you went up against Rodon, who's probably last month and a half, top 5-6 pitcher in the league. Like, he was on a legit tear. You beat the brakes off of him. The first 4 innings were not encouraging, and then everyone kind of saw him the second, third time through, and they turned the page and they kind of teed off on him. Went teed off on the bullpen. Defense was really good today. Series as a whole, offense showed up. Aside from Walker Buehler starting pitching, I would say showed up. I think Garrett Crochet's line was a little deceiving. I don't think he was as bad as the line looked. Bullpen,
agreed,
for the most part, was very good. And now it's just a matter of what do you do with it? Like you said, Gordo, I'm not seasons back on mode. But this is a series that can kind of be a turning point or some form of like momentum boost. And then you got to see what they do against Tampa before you declare anything. But things look good right now. It's hard not to be excited after the series.
Yeah, we got to talk about what they can do moving forward to get you back on board with the, okay, like these games, like we're living and dying with every, because like when it's Sox Yankees, you kind of throw everything that the season has been out the window and you live and die with it regardless, just because that's what this is. That's what being a Red Sox fan is. And you're going to respect what it means to be a Red Sox fan, which means respecting the rivalry and treating it like it's meant to be treated. But when they play the Rays, they're going to step foot on the field in game one, and they're going to be 32-35. So, yeah, and let's see. Games back in the wild card after tonight, they are 4. So they're still not within striking distance or anything, but obviously still a ton of time to go. Really is still time to just kind of look at yourself and what are you? So what do the Red Sox need to do to get you back on board? Like, if the Red Sox take 2 out of 3 from the Rays, are you on board with, okay, season's back on? Because at that point, they've won 3 out of 4 right now. If they take 2 out of 3 from the Rays, that would be 5 out of 7. Are you back on board?
So I'm trying to be clear what you mean by on board. So if I'm not on board, that season's over?
No. It just means that they need to do more before you buy into like, okay, like now we can take them seriously again. Because we can all acknowledge the season is not over. It's early June, and they're 4 games out. Yeah. Like, let's be real. Just because we're not on board right now doesn't mean, you know, like you can get back on board if you're not.
Right. Okay. So I think I'd need to see them win like 3-4 series in a row. I don't need sweeps. Just win two out of three or four times in a row. And it would help if it were Yankees, check, got that done. And then Tampa, solid team. So if it's against good teams, even better. But that's it. I think pretty straightforward and simple. I just need to see them go on an extended period of winning series. And people always will be like, two out of three, you know, you really could have swept them. I agree. Would love a sweep.
You can't. Every time, I'd love a sweep.
I'd love if every Red Sox team was the 2018 Red Sox and they just beat the crap out of everyone all the time. But that's just not realistic. So that's my answer. I need to see. Let's put it at three series wins in a row. This was number one. I need two more.
So you're Sammy, you're at, and I'll just interject here because I'm right where you're at. Like if they take the series from the Rays, two out of three, we'll say they'll still be under 500. Can't take them seriously under 500. If they take back to back series following this, that will put them what at 500? If they win about 4 out of their next six, no, they'd be above 500.
They'd be one
game over.
Like 7 out of 10. I need them to win 7 out of 10, something like that. Something where it's like a lot more wins than losses. I just need to see an extended period of success. We haven't had that all year long. That's what I need to see. Hasn't happened at all. So show
Pat,
me.
The barometer, Pat, is the next two series. Do you agree with that or are you different?
I'm a little bit different. And I'll do them a favor because I was kind of alluding to it earlier when we were texting. So including this Yankee series, we'll count this Yankee series because obviously that's a big test as the Yankees in the Bronx. They have three against the Yankees, three against the Rays, three against the Yankees, three against the Mariners, three against the Giants. That's a 15-game series of legit good teams. I would have wanted them, for me to be like bought back in and like have faith, I would say 10-5 in that 15-game stretch. Ooh. So from here on out, they need to go, 8-4 the rest of the way, which isn't a ridiculous thing to say. Because if you sweep one, you could actually drop a series, and then you just take two out of three from the other. Like, it sounds daunting, but it's not as crazy as it sounds. But we're at the point now where, like, that's what it's going to take, because they're not just a game under 500. Like, they're a couple games under 500. And as scary as that kind of gauntlet is right now, the good thing is they come out on the other side with, again, the opponent does not seem to really matter to them this year. It's just whether or not they show up. They can beat good teams if they show up. They can lose two out of three to the fucking Angels. But at the end of that legit gauntlet there, they do get a decent break. They have three with the Angels, three with the Blue Jays, three with the Reds, three with the Nats,
but it doesn't
three
matter.
With the Rockies.
It doesn't matter.
That's what I'm saying.
It doesn't matter.
Is if you go 8-4 in the next 12, so 10-5 in this like 15 game window, you have 12 games on the back end of that, where if you're playing well, you should win 9 of 12. So like this is the window to catapult them. That being said, that's what I need to see: 10 wins in the next 15 games, counting this series, 8 wins in the next 12.
Yeah, and really, it's such a sliding scale because like the win the next two series is to get me to like the baseline, the true bottom most point of, okay, like this team has shown me something, like let's take them seriously again. Taking them seriously doesn't mean, okay, I'm back on board with my original prediction of, hey, this team's going to win the division. Like the team's not going to win the division. They're too far out. Like they're not coming back to win the division. At least that's how I feel. Sammy, you feel differently, Sammy, 10 games out?
No, I don't think they'll win the division. I'm just not ready to declare anything yet after we saw what the Astros did. wait, hold on. No, it's all over for the Red Sox. They're cooked. No, you're supposed to do the womp, womp, womp.
Oh.
All right. No, I don't think they're going to win the... Whoops. All right. Don't go overboard with this shit. Jesus Christ. No, I don't think they're going to win the division, but I don't want to declare anything dead yet. We're 2/3 of the season left.
It's a sliding scale. Like you can go from dead to alive. Like you're 10 games out of something. that's deceased. You're done. You're not coming.
Talking like, about. I mean, you can go from dead to alive, bro. Did you smoke the smoke from Jazz's smoke right there? Dead to alive, bro. The Red Sox.
One thing in the context of like buying in and everything, it seems like within the next 2 or 3 weeks, both Bregman and Cutter could be back.
Cutter more time. Bregman maybe.
Yeah.
Cutter's going to take some time.
So that being said, I also think the context lies where they stand when Bregman comes back. Like if they're a 500 team and Bregman comes back, that's a little bit of a jolt. Like I'm kind of bought back in because they were able to get back to like that water finding its level 500 mark. And you're just adding who was a top five MVP candidate. That being said, if like in the next 15 games, they're, you know, 5-9, 5-10, and then you add Bregman in, it doesn't matter to me. They're dead in the water.
Yeah. That's what made the Bregman injury so brutal when it happened. And like when it came out that it was a long-term thing, it's like, oh my God, like this team is scuffling right now. And now they have to go without the guy that really has been kind of the one bright spot that might be able to get you out of it. But I mean, you look at what some of these guys have been doing, like Trevor Story in the 2 wins, 5-9 with a homer. Christian Campbell in the 2 wins, 4-6 with a homer and 4 RBIs. Talked about Tor at the beginning. Romy Gonzalez is a 300 hitter, and Marcelo hits his first career home run in the first game of the series. Obviously, I didn't see much of him in the second 2 games, and I guess we can talk about that if you guys want. But
can we just talk about Abraham Toro for a second? He has a 926 OPS. What the fuck?
Yeah, like, I mean, that shit is like, that's the thing is, when you talk about Toro, it's like you got to talk about it in two different conversations, because it's the 926 OPS, like that's what he's done, and you got to be grateful as hell for it, because you're in a bad spot now. You're in a worse spot if he doesn't do that. That being said, you can't count on that going forward. You just need to hope that he can keep it up as long as possible. And then you get Alex Bregman back, and if he's still producing, then like, yeah, you'll find at bats for him, but like he probably will not be doing this, and hopefully he just keeps it up for as long as possible, and you get a little bit closer to when Bregman's back, and there's not this huge gap where nobody's producing, which I think with this offense, like that time is going to come again, but you just need them to hit like this. Like we can talk about their starting pitching. It's been awful, but if the offense does this, you can sustain it.
Before that, pop quiz, what country is Abraham Toro from?
Canada. Oh, I've got it. Canada.
Yeah, I didn't know that. I found that out today. Didn't. Yep, Canada.
Yeah, it's Canada.
Joe, can we cut Gordo off from the friggin' sound effects? This guy's going, every time there's a quiet pause, I'm like, all right, here comes the sound effect.
It's funny how Gordo's trying to act like the producer of this podcast. Yeah.
Get his ass, Joe.
No, you can hit the sounds too. You have full.
You wanted first crack at it.
No, so I just wanted the ability to access. It's not first crack.
I say this is Gordo's last crack at it, and Joe just takes it.
I agree.
I see Gordo looking down. Every time he looks down and doesn't do something, I know a sound effects is coming. Look at him. Shit-eating grin. He's like, I've got the sound effects now. I'm Gore.
He's like,
okay, then. Gore. Well, I think Gordo, then you got to do all the editing and you should do all the posting. You should stay up super late. Go ahead. Do that.
It's not crazy that the guy in the lead chair of the podcast would have access to the soundboard. That's not crazy.
Is it though?
I give it to the producer.
This is
the producer can do it too. He has access.
This is the equivalent of when you give like a 5-year-old a fucking drum set. It just gets real obnoxious real fast. Gordo is just kicking the kick drum, hitting the snare, and just being a nuisance.
Here Gordo, comes. You should just listen.
He's doing the face.
I saw you do it. Listen, I could be looking at Baseball Reference. I could be listening. I could be looking at Savant.
I'm just saying, Gordo, listen to the next time I produce a radio show. Like, we got a full show on the off day this upcoming Thursday. Listen to me and how I produce that, and you'll understand what to do.
Joe called me a nerd on the radio.
I have not once told you to not do it. Hit the damn buttons. Do it. They're right in front of your face.
I'm sorry. I got to keep track of the timesheet and give you guys time checks.
Brother, yeah. This guy stinks.
Okay, no, that's a great use. That's a great use. I that was a good use of it.
You dunked on yourself, Gordo. Good for you. All right. Red Sox.
Spectrum Business keeps real businesses, like Rise Bakery, connected.
As a business owner, my Spectrum services help simplify my day. Everything we do is easier knowing that we've got a reliable connection. And it helps our business just run really smoothly. Even though our techniques are very ancient, we rely just as heavily on technology. Spectrum allows my business to go from surviving to thriving.
Keep your business running smoothly with Spectrum Internet, starting at $40 a month. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
You know, there are a lot of passions. Some days it's sports, other days it's cooking, or music, or just diving into a great documentary. The thing is, whatever you're into, it's on Prime. Amazon Prime isn't just about fast delivery. Though getting stuff the same day is pretty great, but it turns out it's so much more. Prime Video, Amazon Music, the whole range of services. It's like a hub for all kinds of curiosity. Prime helps people stay connected to what matters and keeps the journey of exploration going. Whether it's watching something inspiring, listening to a new artist, or getting gear delivered fast to chase a new hobby, Prime makes it easier to dive in. So yeah, whatever you're into, it's on Prime. From streaming to shopping, it's on Prime. Visit Amazon.com/Prime to get more out of whatever sparks interest. Amazon.com/Prime.
Baseball's number one digital destination is the MLB app. And this app's got game. Like game highlights, live games, fantasy games, and more.
The gem of a game!
This is baseball your way. With stats, scores, breaking news, and daily custom content that hits every time.
A monster shot!
Because here, you choose the teams and pick the players you want to follow.
All year long.
So when they catch it on the field,
what a catch!
You catch it on the MLB app. Download today. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
I'm Emma Greed, and I'm the host of the Aspire podcast, a show where I talk to the world's most brilliant minds about building the life of your dreams. Listen to and follow Aspire with Emma Greed, an Odyssey podcast, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
Sox.
He's looking down again.
No, okay. Well, okay, I'll give you guys options here. Do we want to talk about Devers? Do we want to talk about Dobbins? What was the thing I said we should talk about before? There was another thing in there.
Well, I think we should talk about Dobbins and Jazz Chisholm.
Like, okay, let's talk about it.
Just in general, like, okay, it started with Dobbins. By the way, we've met Dobbins. We've spoken to Dobbins. Very nice guy. I wouldn't call him quiet, but just friendly dude.
Not cocky. Like, not arrogant.
Not at all. So when I saw those quotes, so he spoke with Gabrielle Starr, and when he said those quotes...
Do you want the quote, Sammy?
Yeah, hit me.
All right. He said... I've said it before that if the Yankees were the last team to give me a contract, I'd retire.
I love it. First of all, no chance that's true, but I love it anyway. That is the ultimate, like, that's how you endear yourself. And when he gave up,
that's a line from someone else. Like
Ken Griffey Jr.
It was Griffey.
Yes. Yeah, Ken Griffey Jr. But it's just sick. And you know, he wasn't great. Tonight, as we record on Sunday night baseball, gave up the 2-run shot to Judge in the first inning, whatever. But he kept him in the game. 5 innings, 3 earned runs. Not his best start ever. He'll have better starts than that. But I think kind of, sort of backed it up. He didn't get punked is the good thing.
He didn't get punked.
It looked like he might have in the first inning. Kind of got scared because, I mean, I personally, from my personal Twitter account, was talking a whole lot of shit all weekend long, even knowing that the Yankees are a better team to this point. But yeah, I love stuff like that. That's what makes the rivalry fun to me. More of that, if anything.
You know who did get punked? Jazz Chisholm when he was mic'd up.
Oh,
they asked Jazz, what are your thoughts on Dobbin's comments? And he kind of like gives like a shit-eating grin and smirks. And before he can open his big stupid mouth, he gets a ground ball and promptly throws it to the eighth row behind the dugout. And then just comes back to it like he made, like he just didn't botch a ground ball. He's like, ah, my bad. Yeah.
Talks about Yankees anime.
Yankees are like a premier franchise. They wouldn't even be, it's not even realistic. They'd be the only team to offer you a job.
I got to take. I don't like Jazz. I don't think any of us like Jazz.
He's a bum.
But we need more Jazz Chisholms in Major League Baseball. That makes it so much more fun. Like when you can, I don't hate Jazz like as a person. I'm sure he's a great guy, whatever. But the way he talks shit and how cocky he is and how flashy he is, plus he's on the Yankees, like that makes me so angry. And I love it. We need more of that.
Fuck.
Yeah. He's very overrated. Yeah. I mean, he's pretty average overall.
Sammy, I agree with that take. We do need more. And he tweeted it, and he's not wrong when he tweets it. Like, we do need more shit talk. We need more showmanship. Like, that's what some other sports have that this game doesn't. That said, when you do go down that route, as Dobbins did here, you put yourself at risk, and your first start in Yankee Stadium as a rookie, that's a ballsy place to do it.
Good.
I don't think that he meant it to mean anything like that. I don't know. I could be wrong.
How do you think he meant it? That was a big Yankees.
I think he's just speaking his truth. Like, he grew up a Red Sox fan. Like, I'd say the same thing, and I'm not trying to like antagonize the Yankees, but I'm telling the truth. Like, yeah, man, like I spent my whole life hating this team. Like, I would not sell my soul to be a part of that organization.
No, he would play for the Yankees if they had drafted him and offered him a contract, I think. I'm just saying, probably. Whether he means it or not, in fact, it might even be better if he doesn't mean it, because then he's straight up just being like, I'm just talking shit because I'm on the Red Sox and I want to beat the Yankees and I want to piss them off.
He's speaking his truth. What I'm saying is, I don't think he meant it as like a fuck you to the Yankees. Like, I would say the same thing, and I'm not trying to like piss Jazz Chisholm off. I'm just saying, like, yeah, I've hated this team my whole life. Like, I couldn't see myself doing that.
I think it was a little bit hyperbole. Like, there's no way that if the Yankees are the only team offering him a contract that he would retire. That's crazy. But I respect the sentiment of like, fuck the Yankees. I grew up hating this team, and now I'm on the Red Sox. I love that. And I love that he did it in a spot where he intentionally made himself vulnerable. Like you said, Sunday Night Baseball against the Yankees at Yankee Stadium. He served himself up on a platter to those Yankees fans, and he walked out, you know, not unscathed, but he's fine. I think he held his own. So I wish more guys would do shit like that, whether it backfires or not. It's fun.
That's the thing, though, is like if he let up 5-6 runs today, the Red Sox lost, like, you open yourself up to a lot of negative attention from your own fan base. Like,
yeah,
you get negative attention from the Yankee fan base. And like, I guess it depends on who you are as a person, whether you care. Like, me personally, if a bunch of Yankee fans hate me, like, I take that as a good thing, as a compliment. Granted, like, obviously some of them probably will cross the line and that's not okay. But if you get your bolts blown off after saying that shit, then it looks like, okay, you gave them bulletin board material and then got your lunch taken. So that's not good. But he didn't. It was weird. He didn't strike a single guy out. He also didn't walk anybody. Granted, like, I care, like, when we're looking at the past, I care about the results. Looking forward to the future, that's not going to be a good recipe for success, and he's going to get hit if that continues. But Sunday Night Baseball, you're playing the Yankees. You went 5 innings, 3 runs. The Red Sox won the game. Hats off to Hunter Dobbins for that. Backing it up. I'll give him credit. He backed it up. Results, yeah. Backed it up, and they won the game.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. He did what not a lot of Sox starting pitchers have done lately, and that is go 5 innings. So he did that while talking shit. He kept them in it. He got by Judge. Everybody's going to get got by Judge. It happens. But no, he went out there, talked to shit. He held his own. He wasn't superb. He didn't dominate, but he kept him in the game, and they won that game after he talked shit. So good on Hunter Dobbins. Good for you.
Yankees lose.
There you go. That was good.
But let's, Pat, you brought up the starting pitch, and let's talk about the rest of that, because it hasn't been good. You go beyond Garrett Crochet, and I gotta pull up my tweet from the other day, because when Craig Breslow was hired, and I'm gonna talk as I'm scrolling to find this quote, but But he talked about how he kind of views his own swing and miss rate, the ability to generate whiffs on pitches in the strike zone, as the all-encompassing most important stat. Because if you can generate swings and misses in the zone, and here's the quote, "The ability to generate swings and misses in the strike zone is the time-tested, foolproof recipe for success. In a perfect world, we have a host of pitchers who can generate swings and misses in the strike zone." And the reason he believes that is because if you can get swings and misses in the strike zone, then you can attack guys, you're not going to walk as many guys, and you're not going to be as reliant on your defense to make plays behind you because you're getting swings and misses, you're getting strikeouts. Simply put, again, he's right. That is, if you get swings and misses in the strike zone, like, you can look at the leaderboards for those stats, and it's all really good pitchers at the top of the boards. The issue I have is that outside of Garrett Crochet, none of the Red Sox starting pitchers do it well. Crochet was his start, so it's probably changed a little bit. But going into Saturday, Crochet was eighth in baseball. Hunter Dobbins was 106th. Walker Buehler was 126th. Tanner Houck was 138th. Brian Baio was 144th. And Lucas Giolito was 153rd. And that's out of 154. So out of the six guys in qualify, one of them is adequate in that. And to go a little bit further, here's how they've trended from last year to this year. Crochet with 25.5 last year, 22.9 this year. He's elite. Buehler, 12.3% last year when he was one of the worst pitchers in baseball. He's at 12.5% this year, basically the same. Tanner Houck, all-star last year, 14.1% down to 11.5%. Baio, who had a great second half last year, 16.8% down to 10.9% this year. That's a huge drop-off. Giolito, the worst one of all, in 2023, where he had a good first half, awful second half, 18.8% swing and misses in the strike zone. That's pretty good. He was in the top 30-ish percent of the league, down from 8.1% to 9.1% for the second worst among qualifiers. And then the kicker, Nick Pivetta, last year, 15.4% swing and miss rate in the zone. Up this year, now that he's left the Red Sox, it's up to 22.9%. So, offense.
This guy stinks!
There you go, Joe! The problem I have is that moving forward, you need more than Garrett Crochet. Like, if the offense is going to do this, that's great. But, I mean, you see the lineups they put out there. It's like Rob Refsnyder's hitting third, Carlos Narvaez is fourth, Romy Gonzalez is fifth, and against righties, like, you're having Narvaez hitting cleanup and, like, Toro hitting fifth. And it's just the lineups until Bregman gets back, and even once he gets back, it's still, there's still holes in it. You're going to need something from your starters, especially since they haven't gone five innings and it's killing your bullpen. And you've kind of seen it. Like, Justin Wilson had a tough game on Saturday. Bernardino had a tough game on Sunday. Like, you're going to need your starters to step up, and doing what they're doing is not going to work. And Sammy, I want to direct this at you because you and I generally agree on this most of the time. You blame the players first for the performance on the field. The players are the first to blame. But when you see a trend like this, how much of the finger pointing in your eyes goes from the players to this infrastructure, to the Andrew Baileys of the Red Sox organization that, you know, I shouldn't say we, because I don't think this podcast did it prematurely, but a lot of the Red Sox fan base anointed Andrew Bailey and that whole infrastructure kind of before it was proven. And now a lot of people are pointing the fingers at them, kind of figuring, oh shit, like, did we jump the gun a little bit here? How much of your finger pointing is going at the infrastructure, at the coaching staff versus the players?
Yeah, well, first off, you are correct. We absolutely never, ever, none of us ever anointed Andrew Bailey anything. We had high hopes for him, thought he was a good hire and everything like everyone else did. But I'll speak for myself. A million times I've said, this guy's a pitching coach. He's not a magician. So, you know, do with that what you will. I'm actually less so looking at Andrew Bailey for that reason, because he's not a magician, more so looking at Craig Breslow. All those guys that you listed, Gordo, none of them at any point have ever been big strikeout guys other than Crochet. Like, Baio coming up through the minors, never been a strikeout guy. He was already on the roster,
Giolito,
so whatever.
Giolito, give Giolito some.
Kind of, sort of, but not like an in-zone, like, big, like, blow-you-away kind of guy. Like, just not a little bit. Houck, even when he was cooking, he was kind of sort of a, he got a few strikeouts, but he's not like a big strikeout guy. None of those guys you look at and you're like, that's a strikeout pitcher. A lot of guys in the low minors right now, Peyton Tolley, you Clark, early in the higher minors, like guys who look like they'll be strikeout guys. So that's why I have a little bit of faith in the pitching infrastructure as a whole. But right now at the big league level, it's like, sure, I'd like to see a little bit better production out of the pitching staff that's in-house right now. But I mean, what do you expect, Andrew Bailey? Like, look at Walker Buehler, for example. He was great for years with the Dodgers. He was a guy who was a strikeout guy. But he looked really bad last year, like you said, Gordo, one of the worst pitches statistically in Major League Baseball. And then he comes back this year. He just had major surgery. He's not old, but he's no spring chicken. And you just expect him to bounce back. And then people want to blame Andrew Bailey for this for not being a magician again. And I don't want to let Andrew Bailey off the hook. I think if you have one criticism with him, it's the game planning more than anything. That's the trends that kind of repeat themselves. But that's a different conversation, kind of. It's more so the personnel, in my opinion. And that's why, like, before the season, I was saying I would like one more starting pitcher, maybe move some guys around, get, like, it's just, I don't know. It always felt
that? If they'd gotten one more starting pitcher, how would you have done that? Because people come after me all the fucking time. I've got these Twitter heathens coming after me because I said they didn't need another starting pitcher. And to everyone who wanted another starting pitcher, I ask, what's your rotation and who's going to the bullpen? So what would you have done if they just got another starting pitcher?
I just would have bumped someone to the bullpen. Like,
who?
Okay, who do we have? So not Crochet, obviously.
Entering the season. So like you think Hauk is good, you think Bayo's good. Like you
think Bayo's good, yeah. Bayo hurt though going into the year. Well, the guy I wanted was Cease, which he's not having a good year, so that wouldn't have been good. But you know, in a vacuum, a guy like Dylan Cease. Who am I forgetting? Probably Fitz. Probably wouldn't have had Fitz make the rotation. Probably would have had him come out of the bullpen or in AAA or something. I know he looked good and he was good.
Fitz was probably your seventh starter. Like entering spring training before you knew you had any injuries, your order probably went Crochet, Hauk, Bayo, Buehler, Giolito, Cutter as your sixth, Fitz as your seventh.
Yeah, and I probably would have gotten another pitcher early in the offseason along with, or maybe just not have gone with Buehler or something. I don't know. I just never felt
like that.
What? No, like, I mean, I liked the Buehler signing at the time, to be fair. Like, I thought it was good, but you could have gone a little bit more. I like what the Dodgers do, where they just way, way, way overstock their rotation so that inevitably when someone gets hurt, they have someone step in. And now, ironically, last year in the World Series, they almost ran out of guys and it almost came back to bite them, but they had just enough. So that's kind of how I would have handled it. I would have bumped someone to the bullpen. Even Giolito. Giolito hadn't pitched for a year and a half. If he's got to be your come out of the bullpen for a few games, fine. If he looks great, move him into the rotation. Someone's going to get hurt, and they did. We had a bunch of injuries early on. We saw it.
They have depth. They've had depth. They haven't had schmucks. Like they haven't. It's not like they've gone with. Like they've had one game where they basically were like, okay, Richard Fitz, like you're not ready to go, but we need somebody. So you're going to go.
Right. And depth is good. Depth is good. We've talked about how much better the depth is. Depth is good, but that's separate from having a motherfucker. You know what I mean? Like you need depth.
Oh, I agree.
Sure. But you also need guys you can go to. And then we're not having this conversation of like, why is the bullpen so taxed? Why is the rotation underperforming? Then you don't have those conversations. So that's why I thought that. Maybe it was overly cautious. Maybe I'll look, you know, silly. When it's all said and done, the rotation bounces back. That could happen. I'd be thrilled with that. But from the jump, I always felt like, yeah, it's a good rotation, but very, very flawed after Crochet. So remains to be seen if I'm right about that. Like I said, could be wrong, but it would feel a lot better with one more guy.
I want to go back to our preseason predictions. I feel like that was not the tone of these podcasts. Like we thought that.
I said that. I said good. I said good.
But a lot of
great.
They need another reliever. You did say and good
rotation.
Not great. But I don't think any of us. And like, granted, obviously, no one thought Hauk and Bayo were going to be unpitchable. But like, yeah, you did want Cease.
I wanted Cease, which again, to be fair, would not have been good because Cease has been bad this year. So yeah. I can't take too much credit. But I did want another guy. I'm trying to find my.
But obviously, moving forward, they do like Sammy. You said if the rotation bounces back, like you could look silly for saying all this. I think it's pretty clear the Red Sox definitely need another. Not like they don't need necessarily an ace, but they need someone that can pitch like a top of the rotation guy. Like that's a need.
Yeah, I had my biggest strength as the offense, biggest concern as the bullpen. So the rotation was in the middle. I didn't say the rotation was bad. I'm not trying to rewrite what I said. I said it was okay after Crochet. I didn't think it was like a strength or anything. I thought the depth was a strength. They have really good rotation depth, but you need your ones and twos.
Pat, what's your thoughts on the state of the rotation right now? Like, do you think, I mean, I just listed those stats. Is there a world in your eyes where you think it bounces back, or do you think if this team kind of stays in the mix, that's got to be, you know, the first area of business here?
So I think overall, I think there is something wrong kind of with the philosophy, because they started off red hot last year because they started pitching backwards. They would start you off speed. They throw more off speed than velo. And it worked for about 2 months, 2.5 months. And then teams caught on. You saw Tanner get not kind of knocked around a little bit, but he cooled off big time. Bayo, weirdly enough, took a step forward once teams figured it out, which was odd. And then this year, it seems like there's no adjustment, especially with guys like Buehler, Giolito. And we talked about this. I forget what the first start for Giolito was when he just totally blew up. He pitched really well in Toronto. There was another start, that next start. I forget who they played. But he's fastball changeup. And if his slider's not going, he is the most hittable starting pitcher in baseball. So on that end, I haven't seen any real true growth from the slider. It just seems like, oh, let's hope he has it. And then it's just fastball changeup. Walker, his command has been sucky this year. His velo's been up and down. There's no form of consistency with those two. But one thing that Sammy said that I do want to touch on regarding the new infusion of the whole pitching dynamic, the lower minors pitching development, infrastructure, use of driveline, and Kyle Bodie is working very, very, very well.
I'm glad you brought that up, Pat, because you cannot ignore that.
Yes. That is why you have guys like Dobbins and Fitz taking steps forward. That is why you have guys like Connolly Early, Peyton Tolley, Juan Valera, Brandon Clark. Like, those four guys looking like legit MLB rotation pieces. That is because of a separate entity from Andrew Bailey. The major league rotation is not good. The philosophy is not good. But I'm not here to say it's not good because Andrew Bailey doesn't know how to do his job. No. You signed the statistically worst pitcher in baseball for 2023. You signed the statistically worst pitcher in baseball in 2024. And you banked on a guy in Tanner Houck who really had his first decent season as a full-time starter. And you banked on Brian Bayo, who somehow, speaking of magician, his changeup vanished. That thing doesn't exist anymore. So a lot of it's personnel, which is on Craig. The lower minor.
Is that a sound effect, Gordo?
It's the soundboard, man.
The success of the lower minors and the infrastructure and the guys taking steps forward down there, that is a good on Craig. But now it's more of a personnel thing. And Craig banked on guys bouncing back when you're the Boston Red Sox and you could have gotten Jack Flaherty and Garrett Crochet. You did not have to bank on a Walker Buehler. You did not have to really like put all your eggs in the Lucas Giolito basket. There were several different... You had deep negotiations with Eovaldi. You could have got that over the finish
line. Oh, can you imagine?
Like too many bounce back, like relying on guys to bounce back. Buehler, Giolito, same. Hendricks in the bullpen.
So my thing, and this is something I've come to kind of like think of and realize over the last week or so, is that we used to get really genuinely pissed off when Heim would bank on like bounce back guys or upside guys for the lineup, like your Renfros, your Duvalls, your Jose Peraza's, your Justin Turner's, like all those. Craig just does that with the rotation.
Yeah.
You don't need the gambles. You don't need the lottery tickets. You don't need to look like a genius. You need sure things. And the only sure thing right now is that Garrett Crochet is a fucking horse.
Pat, real quick. Two things. First of all, I want to give a shout out to Justin Willard, who's the director of pitching in the Red Sox organization. Yep. He deserves some love for this. And second, here's the way I viewed the rotation, or guys in particular, Buehler and Giolito. The way I thought of it, and I was wrong about this. This is a bad take I had that I want to bring up. I looked at it as if Okay, you have Crochet, that's your number one. Hauk, maybe he regresses a little bit, but you know, he's your number two starter. And then you have Walker Buehler and Lucas Giolito. You only need one of those guys to bounce back. And that's your number three. And then you fill up the last two. Well, and then I was going to say you fill out the last two spots with Bayo. And then you have like Dobbins, Fitz, blah, blah, blah. That
Cutter.
Maybe I took for granted how great it is to have a guy like Luis Castillo, who I was saying, no, don't trade for him. He's regressing. He's regressing. He's still really good, but he's regressing. Maybe that reliability is something the Red Sox should look more into or be more enamored with rather than all these upside plays. Like, I love the upside of Lucas Giolito, Walker Buehler, Liam Hendricks in the bullpen, all guys with huge upside. We've seen it. We've seen how good those guys can be, but it's 2025. Giolito hasn't been good for almost 2 years now. Buehler just had major surgery. Hendricks hasn't been good for three-ish years. Gone through a lot, so I get it. But still, too many upside plays for a team that's owned by $13 billion Fenway Sports Group. Jack Flaherty, like you said, Pat, would have been awesome. Guy like that would have been great. Eovaldi, awesome. So looking back, maybe me, I'm speaking for myself personally, maybe a little bit too comfortable with the upside plays when it came to the rotation.
Well, here's the thing with the upside plays is there are some organizations, and let's talk about the Dodgers there, that have proven track records of turning guys' careers around, taking guys, you know, coming off down years and jumpstarting them back to life. You fucking jumpstart their hearts. The Red Sox
jumpstart them.
The Sox don't have that. And like, yes, the pitching infrastructure. One thing that we said, and we talked a lot about this last offseason when those guys got here, this isn't going to be a 1 year thing. Like, you're not going to see the Red Sox. They're not going to snap their fingers and have a full rotation of studs and a full bullpen of guys you've never heard of pitching with sub twos. Like, that's just not going to happen. It's going to be like a 5 year plan to get a pipeline of guys that you develop going. That's what it's going to be. And so we still haven't seen that. But what we have seen is that they've brought in guys like Walker Buehler. I want to use him as an example here because Giolito, it's a tough example because like Giolito, I said, he's basically cut his in-zone swing and miss rate in half. So yes, like that's bad. But at the same time, a lot of that could be just the fact that he blew out his elbow too. And he's just maybe not the same guy after having done that. And obviously they signed him before he did that. But if you have the proven infrastructure, you can take chances on guys like Walker Buehler and say, we know what we can do, and we know we can make this guy a number two starter for us. We know that Brian Bayo, we paid him. We know we can make him a number two starter for us. We saw what Tanner Houck did last year. Yeah, he wore down a little bit. We know we can get him back to be that guy. The Red Sox do not have that track record to put together rotations of guys full of question marks. And that was lost on me this offseason. I had way too much confidence in the starting rotation. So we don't have that yet. And we're in a win now window with this team. And so, yeah, they need to put together, Sammy, as you said, more of a proven rotation, less reliant on upside. You can have some upside in the 4-5 spots, but you need guys that are going to eat innings, go deep in games, and give your team a chance to win every single time. That doesn't mean three aces. That means an ace and at least a couple of guys where you sure as shit know what you're getting. And they don't have that right now, and they need to get it.
Right.
One quick thing that I want to, because someone brought up the Dodgers. The second I thought of like upside guy who worked for them, Tyler Anderson was a 2022 NL All-Star after being horrific, horrific in 2021 with the Mariners, I believe the Pirates. So his underlying data was genuinely good. He was 84th percentile or above in average exit velo, chase rate, walk rate, and hard hit. And then they turned him into an all-star. He was great, whatever. The big difference there about like them identifying, you know, guys who can benefit from, you know, scenery change, a change in approach, whatever, is that it's guys who have like the underlying metrics to like back it up. Where what the Red Sox are doing, it feels like they're banking on guys returning to their prime like 3-4 years in the past, which is ridiculous. Because I'm looking at Giolito right now. So I just told you what Tyler Anderson looked like before the Dodgers turned him into an all-star. He got a nice contract with the Angels. the year before he came to the Red Sox, everything is literally blue or gray except his extension. Like, that's not something you identify and you're like, oh, we can work with that.
Well, and they're looking at the old Lucas Giolito.
Yeah,
same thing with
Gordo.
I
was going to say, you're actually right. I was saying Lucas Giolito never been a strikeout guy. He was, but it was 5 years ago. So he hasn't been a strikeout guy in years. He did used to be. You're right about that. And you know what's crazy? Talking about, you know, banking on either bounce backs or upsides or renaissance seasons. I see a lot of Red Sox fans being like, yo, you know what the Red Sox should do? Buy low on Sandy Alcantara.
No, that's the same thing. He could bounce back. He probably will end up being way better than he is.
Yeah.
But we're not the Red Sox are not the team that should be doing that.
You're not that guy. Yeah, you're not that guy.
You
know what it's like? It's like there's this group of teams who have pitching factories, like Dodgers, Astros, Rays, I guess the Yankees. Like there's a group of those teams. And the Red Sox, it's like they almost like talk themselves into that group.
Yeah.
Without doing it, people are like, Red Sox pitching factory, baby.
The
like,
pitching Milwaukee. Factory, the Bailey Milwaukee, lab. Yeah,
Milwaukee too. But like, you don't have that. You're the Red Sox. You're a hitting factory. The Red Sox churn out elite bats like fucking crazy. Sure, but like, they have a long track record of that. When they bring up a guy like Marcelo Meyer, you're like, all right, this guy, he's going to hit. Maybe it'll take him some time, but this guy's going to hit. Roman Anthony, he'll hit. Christian Campbell, already hitting a little bit. Like, yeah, you've earned that. But pitching wise, like, come on.
No, they haven't earned it. You're right.
They talk themselves into that group.
Gotta see it. And you have to take it. Like, you need to take baby steps to get there. Like, they jumped deep into the deep end. Like, they jumped into a 50-foot pool.
Yeah.
Needing it to work with like four different guys. And you know, shame on me for not seeing it that way. Like, obviously, this is still a bottom percentile outcome. Like, it should have been better than this, even with them not really knowing what they're doing there. But
you know who warned us, Gordo? Bradfo. During the World Series, when Walker Buehler pitched well, Bradfo was like, be careful. A lot of guys earn a lot of money in the playoffs, and then you never know if it's like the real them or if it's just a blip. Hopefully, Buehler bounces back. And by the way, we're not closing the book on Buehler or Giolito.
And Buehler's been solid for a lot of this year. It's just that he's not a $20 million pitcher.
No, and Giolito's had good starts too. Giolito's had some good starts too. He's kind of been like back and forth almost, but the bad has been woof.
Even the good though.
Real quick, before we get to enough said, let us not forget that the Red Sox and Craig wanted Walker Buehler on a multi-year deal.
Oh,
and he said, no, I want what the qualifying offer was.
You're
so
right, Pat.
Shout out Walker. And then one other thing that I feel like is not talked about enough because it's not going to happen, I don't think. So I believe the clause is if Giolito doesn't throw over 130 innings,
I think it's 140.
The Red Sox, 140 innings, which he almost surely won't pass. The Sox have a $14 million option to pick up for him.
They won't pick that up.
That is dirt cheap for a rotation piece, and they will not pick it up.
Yeah.
Which is nuts. It just goes to show you how bad he's been. And shout out Lucas. Great guy. Just not what the Red Sox need right now.
He's admitted himself. He said, I need to figure it the fuck out. Like, this isn't – we're not being jerks or anything.
He wants to be better. 2026 club option becomes a $19 million mutual option with 140 innings pitched in 2025 with a $1.5 million buyout. So that's the clause.
He gets $1.5 million buyout essentially if he hits 140 innings, which he will not get.
Damn. What a rough life being a Major League Baseball player is.
Real businesses like Malibu Apothecary rely on Spectrum to keep them connected.
We're a fragrance company, but we also have a lot of technology that we use. Spectrum is really the backbone of any of the business we do here. Having a reliable, fast internet service that can fit my budget is really great. I traded a 9-to-5 for a 5-to-9. It's a lot of work, but I love it.
Spectrum Business Internet starts at $40 a month when bundled. Learn more at spectrum.com/business. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
You know, there are a lot of passions. Some days it's sports, other days it's cooking or music or just diving into a great documentary. The thing is, whatever you're into, it's on Prime. Amazon Prime isn't just about fast delivery. Though getting stuff the same day is pretty great, but it turns out it's so much more. Prime Video, Amazon Music, the whole range of services. It's like a hub for all kinds of curiosity. Prime helps people stay connected to what matters and keeps the journey of exploration going. Whether it's watching something inspiring, listening to a new artist, or getting gear delivered fast to chase a new hobby, Prime makes it easier to dive in. So yeah, whatever you're into, it's on Prime. From streaming to shopping, it's on Prime. Visit Amazon.com/Prime to get more out of whatever sparks interest. Amazon.com/Prime.
Can't get enough baseball? Start streaming MLB Network today. Get up to 15 out-of-market games a week live on any device, plus 24/7 access to MLB Network's award-winning shows, including live game look-ins and exclusive player interviews. And hear live radio play-by-play from all 30 clubs with MLB at Bat. Enjoy the home of baseball from virtually anywhere. Plans start as low as $5.99 per month. Sign up now at MLBNetwork.com/stream. Available in the U.S. only. Blackout restriction applies. Visit MLB.com/subscribe for full terms and conditions.
I'm Emma Greed, and I'm the host of the Aspire podcast, a show where I talk to the world's most brilliant minds about building the life of your dreams. Listen to and follow Aspire with Emma Greed, an Odyssey podcast, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
Yep. Any enough said?
Yes.
Let's hear it, Sammy.
I have a business idea for ESPN. Alternate broadcast on Sunday Night Baseball, anytime the Yankees are involved in the game, called the Gluck Gluck 9000 broadcast, where they just ball wash Aaron Judge the entire ball game, because that ninth inning with the Yankees getting
that
pummeled.
Is the broadcast. Why is that?
Oh my God, dude.
That's the broadcast we get.
For the other people, for everyone else who doesn't want to hear Aaron Judge get a friggin' tongue bath by the
You're
broadcast.
You're saying the non-ball washing broadcast.
Yes, okay. Yes. The guy's getting friggin' tongue bath all ninth inning. His team's getting pummeled. He hits a 2-run homer to make it a 4-run game with 2 outs left to go. Fantastic. Like, that was nauseating. And normally with Judge and like Otani, when they glaze him, I'm like, they deserve it. But the timing of that one, what, Carl Ravitch was like, oh, he might be the best right-handed hitter ever. Wow. And the Red Sox win by 4 runs. Fuck off. That was annoying. And everyone hated it. I saw even Yankees fans being like, stop it. We're getting crushed by freaking Boston. Stop talking about it. No, so nobody liked it. Please, alternate broadcast, the Gluck Gluck 9000 cast.
Shouldn't it be like the desert cast? Because there's no Gluck Gluck on that cast. Right? There's no ball washing on the other broadcast.
What are you talking about? What?
Sammy is saying we need a broadcast where they don't ball wash the Yankees.
No. Take the portion of the broadcast that was all ball washing Aaron Judge. Make that separate and then have a regular broadcast for everyone.
Oh, so this, the Carl Ravitch cast is the alt cast.
Yeah, it could be his broadcast. It could be him. Okay. The Ravi cast. Woo! Yay!
Okay, so
For the record, I like Carl Ravitch. I think he does good stuff. But that was annoying. That was very annoying. We get it. He's good.
Yeah, the ESPN broadcast voices for like this group they have feels good. And there was a period of time after the John Miller, Joe Morgan era that where for a long time it didn't feel good. But
except I can't get over Eduardo Perez's voice.
No, but it's like endearing. I like it. I know it's weird.
Sounds like he just ate a ton of peanut butter and he's trying to talk through the peanut butter stuck in his mouth.
Yeah, but it's like part of the game. You know, it's like,
what did our boy Hogdale say? He said it sounds like he swallowed a kazoo. I like him too. I like Perez too. I like all these guys. I'm trashing them, but I actually enjoyed the broadcast tonight, aside from the bottom of the ninth inning. The tongue bath inning.
Pat, you got enough said?
I do. Someone in my fantasy league, I forget who, hit me with a great trivia question, and the answers blew my mind. I won't go through the whole song and dance of making you guys try and guess, but there are 8 members in the MLB 300 home run, 300 steal club. 3 of them, pretty obvious. Barry Bonds, A-Rod, Willie Mays. There's a couple on there where you're like, I could definitely see that. Andre Dawson, Carlos Beltran. So that leaves 3 guys. Immediately, yep, Sammy, go. You're going to say Ken Griffey?
That's one that came to my mind, but I assume because you didn't say it that he wasn't on the list.
I was going
to
say Barry Bonds because he stole a lot of bases when he was young.
He said Bonds.
Literally the first name I said.
Oh, you did? Okay. Then was it Soriano?
I guess Soriano. Nope.
Is Mike Trout approaching it?
He might be. I think him and J-Ram are the 2 closest active guys. The other 3?
Wait, I kind of want to guess. What era? Are they modern?
There's some that are, we'll say, 70s, 80s, 90s, 2000s, 90s, 2000s.
Oh, that's going to be a lot of guessing. Is it like Juan Gonzalez or something?
I don't think you guess any of them because I heard Cal the Ripken. Names. And,
I don't know. Tell me.
Yeah, let's hear it.
Bobby Bonds.
What?
Steve Finley.
Okay.
This one blew my dick off.
Ooh, ouch.
Reggie Sanders, one-time All-Star.
What?
One-time All-Star.
Was it 300 home runs and 300 stolen bases?
Yep, he has 305 home runs, 304 steals.
That's crazy.
Reggie
Cardinals
Sanders.
Royals legend Reggie Sanders.
That's wild. Didn't he play the Cardinals too?
I definitely did not think he had 300 home runs.
Nuts, yeah.
What the fuck?
Blew my mind, dude.
That is a mind-blowing. Sorry about your wee-wee got blown off.
Yeah, it's all right. I'm wearing a bandage diaper.
Oh, good. Good. Yeah, if you made it to this point in the show, this is why you got to stick around for Enough Said. You get to hear about Pat's body getting blown apart. That's anyway.
My Enough Said, just shout out, we did not have to see Dining Playbook one time in this series. And I was trying to figure, what do I dislike more, Dining Playbook or Jazz Chisholm in his stands? And I think I dislike Dining Playbook more.
Jazz Chisholm has stands? I haven't seen any Yankees fans being like, I love Jazz.
Maybe it was more when he was with the Marlins. There was a lot of people that on the Jazz Chisholm train when he was with the Marlins. You know,
I liked him. I thought he was sick, dude. He's cool, man. He just happens to be on the Yankees. Cool.
No, but I on this podcast, I shat all over Jazz Chisholm before he was a Yankee.
Gross. Yeah, I mean, he's always been a little. I mean, he got the cover of the video game when he was on the Marlins. That's kind of
crazy. That's really where it stems from. Like you got fucking studs that are not on that have never been on the cover of that game, and Jazz gets it. Like, oh,
Gordo, I hope if you play MLB the Show tonight that you win comfortably and don't blow the lead in the ninth.
Yeah, I will be. It's a little late. Maybe it will. I'll figure.
Nah, you got work tomorrow. Go to bed, dude. Go to bed. I'm going to bed.
I should go to bed. It's a smart decision.
I gotta wake up at 6 with Pat. Pat and I are 6 a.m. early risers.
Yeah, let's wrap this thing up. Get you guys to bed. Appreciate you all tuning in for episode 222. Play Tessie. Finally, a happy podcast, a good podcast. Had some productive conversations about the rotation. Doesn't mean we were being negative. It's just, you know, that's the state of the team right now. We're trying to get this team on the rails, and a series win against the Yankees is a good start towards that. Obviously, you know, that can all go away if they get swept by the Rays or something, but let's keep it going. Win 2 out of 3 against the Rays. But yeah, appreciate you tuning in. And remember, subscribe wherever you get your podcast. Rate 5 stars. Find us on WEI's YouTube channel. Subscribe there. And yeah, find us on the socials at PlayTessie on Twitter, Instagram, and TikTok. For Sammy, for Pat, for Joe producing, it's Gordo here for PlayTessie. Thanks for tuning in. Peace.
Thank you. Real businesses like Malibu Apothecary rely on Spectrum to keep them connected.
We're a fragrance company, but we also have a lot of technology that we use. Spectrum is really the backbone of any of the business we do here. Having a reliable, fast internet service that can fit my budget is really great. I traded a 9-to-5 for a 5-to-9. It's a lot of work, but I love it.
Spectrum Business Internet starts at $40 a month when bundled. Learn more at spectrum.com/business. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
You know, there are a lot of passions. Some days it's sports, other days it's cooking or music or just diving into a great documentary. The thing is, whatever you're into, it's on Prime. Amazon Prime isn't just about fast delivery. Though getting stuff the same day is pretty great, but it turns out it's so much more. Prime Video, Amazon Music, the whole range of services. It's like a hub for all kinds of curiosity. Prime helps people stay connected to what matters and keeps the journey of exploration going, whether it's watching something inspiring, listening to a new artist, or getting gear delivered fast to chase a new hobby. Prime makes it easier to dive in. So yeah, whatever you're into, it's on Prime. From streaming to shopping, it's on Prime. Visit Amazon.com/Prime to get more out of whatever sparks interest. Amazon.com/Prime.
It's time for MLB Pitch, Hit, and Run, the official youth skills competition of Major League Baseball. Host a local event and give kids in your community a chance to compete in the Pitch, Hit, and Run finals at the 2024 MLB World Series. Sign up for free at pitchhitrun.com.
On my podcast, Aspire with Emma Greed, we share the keys to succeed in business and in life. Listen to and follow Aspire with Emma Greed and Odyssey Podcast wherever you get your podcasts.